look this morning at Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 through 3. This week, or this last week, we've had definitely, because of the water, we've had some minor disruption. Now, it's not really an issue in the sense that we're all safe, amen? The real problem has become my headspace, okay? Those of you that come along to Bible study know full well that when I've got my Bible study prepped and I've got it in my head, I just annoy my wife with it for the next, normally, 48 hours. The poor girl knows more about 2 Peter than she'll ever need to know. But I have just been, there's just so much. And I've got so much to share and so much to bring. And unfortunately, I wasn't able to last week. So now I'll have to refresh myself and probably do the whole study all again. But that's okay. I woke up with a terrible headache, as per usual, and then wasn't able to part with it. But that means if you are available Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock, you want to be here. If it's the first time you've ever been to Bible study, then why not do it the first time that we have Bible study in the new year and make it a new thing? Amen? Oh, it was almost there. I liked it. But if you're available, that would be fantastic if we study the Word of God together. So we've had some disruption of our normal week, but I want to ask us again sort of a rhetorical question. Did it hinder us from stepping forward? Did it hinder us, as we saw last week as we reviewed what can hinder our worship? Did this week that we've just had hinder just that? I feel like we got a physical obstacle just to test our resolve. Did anybody else think? Nobody's thought that, but think about it now. Did we get a physical obstacle just to test our resolve? Did we still worship? Did we still read the Word of God? Did we still pray? Did we still spend time singing His worship? Or do we just reserve that for these four walls? Do we just reserve that for these four walls that we call the church when we forget that we are the church? Amen? It's not bricks and mortar. This is just a building. Previous to this, it was building tractors. And now it's building the people of God. Amen? So we have to make sure that there aren't things in our way and we're not easily tripped up by the first obstacle that comes into our way. It shouldn't really have stopped us meeting together. Maybe that wasn't physically, but we could still do that over technology, could we not? Just a phone call or a text, or maybe even a Zoom meeting or Teams meeting. I didn't even know Teams was a thing until the other day. I'm not very technologically advanced, as my wife will let you know. And Alistair, usually, he's very happy to tell you that I have no idea what I'm doing. Jack was looking at me yesterday while I was trying to find something on my phone, and he looked at his mother and they smiled at each other. Do you know, it was at that point that I knew that it had all gone wrong. Why is that? What happens? Hey, can anybody explain it? Anybody? No, you're too old. Anyway, I joke. It was just one of those moments that I felt a little bit disappointed about, but never mind. But as we've had a look last week, and as we're going to have a look this week, we saw that we need sort of this resolve, this perseverance, this resilience to be able to withstand these outside influences. And also, not just the outside ones, but the internal ones. You know the ones where I can't be bothered? That's not just me, you bad bunch. You know the ones where I just don't feel like it, or I'm hungry. Usually it's because I'm hungry. I'd like to focus, Lord, but I'm just going to need a Mars bar. Not that anybody says the word Mars bar in January, but anyway. But when that occurs, when these things happen and these internal and these external sort of influences try to get in our way, to impede us from moving forward, I think we've got to sort of realise that actually, you know the poem, it's in the valleys that you grow. You know the one? You heard of that one before? That in actual fact, that when we're, if you like, at the coal face, when we're doing the work and we're getting dirty, down, doing what the Lord's called us to do, spending time in the Word, we're spending time worshipping, spending time interacting with brothers and sisters in Christ, and we're sharing what the Lord has given to us, that when we're doing that, if we're putting the hours in, if you like, then in actual fact, it's in those moments where we develop and we grow. Often if we isolate ourselves onto a little island and we become our own sort of life source, and we think, well, we'll be okay and we'll be fine to handle it, we'll be okay to deal with the situation, the bridge over there looks far too dangerous to cross. Keep up. That if I just keep myself here, that I'll be all right. But in actual fact, it doesn't take long, does it, before the coal that moves away from the fire loses its fire and luster. It loses the burn that it had. And it doesn't take long for that to just fade away. And the desire then to do these things wanes quite quickly. And for us as the church, as we spend time with each other, physically, yes, but also as we spend time with the Lord, as we spend time maybe over social media or interacting with each other, or even just a video call or a call in or a conversation or a cup of tea. All of these things, church, help us to grow together. They help us to bond, they help us to unify, and they help us to grow together. And being in that and being on this journey together is the whole reason that God, through the Lord Jesus Christ, instituted the church. Because we are better together. Amen? We are better together. And when we are together, we're able to overcome the things in front of us. Let's just read Hebrews chapter 12, just to try and center our thoughts this morning. Verse 1 through 3, I'll read it and then I'll pray and we'll see what the Lord's got to say. Therefore, and we'll see what the therefore is there for in just a moment. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, or the author and finisher of our faith, depending on what version of the word that you've got. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Let's pray. Lord, we just ask this morning as we look into your word that, Father, you would speak to us through it. Father, you'd open up our minds, Father, our ears, our heart, that we'd be ready to receive what you've got to say to us through it. Father, you'd speak through me. That each of us in this room would be receptive to what you've got for us this morning. And Father God, that we wouldn't just leave this place the same as we walked in, but Father, we'd leave this place with this resilience, Father, knowing that you're in control, knowing that you're with us, that you are right by our side. So Father, strengthen us and uphold us now as we look together. We ask these prayers in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I'm always conscious that when I pray for strength before I start a preach, that you're thinking, how long is he going to be? Listen, Paul once preached and somebody fell asleep, fell out a window and died. And that's the severity. Now, the good news is that the man was brought back to life. But hey, listen, I won't go that long, I promise. But as we've read Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 through 3, I feel like you're almost with me, by the way. Like you weren't sure whether you were allowed to laugh there or whether that was an awkward moment. You're allowed to laugh, honestly. And laugh at me, usually, Alistair. Is that not the case? Yeah? Very good. So let's just try and be, if we can, this morning, as we look at this short passage of text that we've had, let's just try and be simple. Okay? Now, if I was to just pose a couple of things to you. If I was trying to lose weight, okay, would I go to the chip shop and look at the menu for the thing that's got the least amount of calories? Those that are saying yes, this may be where you're going wrong. Because in reality, if you go to a chip shop, a pickled egg ain't going to cut it. No. you are going to have just a cone of chips. And I hear that's not very good. Thanks, Lol. Now, let's have another example. If you were looking to train to run a marathon, that's something that seems very popular in January. I'm training to run a marathon, so what I need to do is get the miles in. So I'm going to get in my car, and I'm going to drive, and I'm going to get the miles in. Now, I'm confident that I'm going to get the miles in, but I'm also exceptionally confident that my legs are going to feel really rested. But I'm getting the miles in, but I'm not doing the work. Now, those of you that are studying or have studied in the past, you get a reading list, don't you? You know, if you've got a degree or something that you're studying for, here's a reading list. Now, what I did when I did my degree was I brought the books. I purchased them from my local outlet, and they sat on my bedside table. I was hoping that during the night, the information via osmosis would permeate into my mind and I would be the most educated person. And what I found out is that didn't work. It doesn't work. It doesn't matter how many books you have, unless you put the work in, it ain't going to make the slightest bit of difference. Now, all of these things might just seem a little bit daft, and I appreciate that. But what am I getting at? You see, in reality, church, we have to do something, yes. Say I'm going on a diet. Say I'm going to train for a marathon. Say I'm going to do my study. We're doing something. I've brought the books. But there's an action then that follows on from that. There's an action that steps up when we've decided that we're going to make this change. Now, I'm going to share some real figures with you here, okay? These are verified by the Sun newspaper. I feel like the whole of what I've just said has set me up for that one moment, all right? And only half of you laughed, which I'm disappointed about, but I'll work on it. I'll pretend that when you watch it later on recording, or whoever watches it later on, they're laughing, all right? Now, here's some real figures. 15% of the UK actually stick to a New Year's resolution. 15%. Now, we can be proud of ourselves, right? Because America are 9%. 15% of the UK. Now, this is a very awful figure, all right? 28% give up after the first 2 weeks of January. How sad is that? That after 2 weeks, you know what? I've had enough. It's too much for me. But what does that mean? Well, we buy the books, but we never read them. We drive to the chip shop where we order large fish and chips. That's the reality. That is, if we're not careful, who indeed we are. But church, seriously, what we can't do is let our Christian walk go in the same direction. What I'm sharing with you this morning, I'm going to share with you this morning from the Word, is of eternal benefit. It's not something that's just, you know, it's going to make me feel better for a day. The gospel, the truth about the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, the good news about him is life-changing. And the church said, our lives are changed. Amen. You see, in reality, if we are who we say we are, we live the same as who we say we are. Yeah? I am who I am. Prove it. Prove it. And this is the reality. Hebrews 12 and verse 1 starts with a therefore. And I promise you that I'd let you know what the therefore is there for. Don't ever just pick up the Bible and start with a therefore, because you won't know what the therefore. You won't know what the therefore was there for. But in reality, if you go back to Hebrews chapter 11, you've got the hall of faith. You've got these people who the Lord called, and they stepped into it in amongst every kind of trial and tribulation, they stood the test of time, okay? They are in the hall of faith for a reason. Even though they didn't know what the next steps were, and Kev shared one with us this morning as we looked during the breaking of bread at Abraham and Isaac, that he didn't know what was happening, but he had faith that God was in control. And he trusted that God was in control. And he trusted him to the point where his son is bound on the altar and he raises the knife and waited for the call from the angel that said, "Abraham, Abraham." That is faith in action. And as we're going to see here now in Hebrews chapter 12, it's reflecting on the hall of faith, those that stood the test of time. Since we're surrounded, listen, by such a great cloud of witnesses, these are the therefores, okay? So therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Church, that is our first step. That's the first moment that we say, "Lord, I'm sorry for the sin in my life. Come into my heart, change me from the inside out." And at that moment that we're able to say, "Right, this old me is done with. And I want to step into this new me that you have got in store for me, Lord." We run with perseverance then the race marked out for us. And we run with perseverance the race marked out for us. I've said it twice. Why? Because it's got a word in there that demands our attention. We're to run the race with perseverance. That means that even when it gets tough, what do? We keep going. And church, this is the whole crux of the matter. That when it gets difficult, when obstacles are placed in our way, when the reality of life hits, that we don't just fall by the wayside, but we stand firm. Amen? We stand firm. And we push forwards whatever way that we can. So let us run with perseverance. And then when we think about this, that we've thrown off everything that hinders and we've run in the race with perseverance, the race marked out for us, we get this question. And really the question is the reality of what we need to understand, else otherwise the first two, well, they don't work. Without this one, they're all just talk. Because this one makes the difference. How do we do this? Buying the books, signing up for the marathon, avoiding the chip shop, they're just the start. Perseverance is the journey. But who's with us is the key. Verse 2 and 3. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Church, the challenge for us this morning, the instruction for us this morning, is to fix our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter, the author and perfecter, the author and finisher of our faith. To rely on him, to allow the Holy Spirit to move within us, to allow the Holy Spirit to direct us and to convict us when things aren't right, that we go in the right direction, to do and to say the right thing, to be spending time with our Saviour. Listen, it says that Jesus endured the cross, yet look how the writer puts it. And if you're an underliner or a highlighter and you've not heard this point before, because it's something that I've shared here at Hope more than once, it says, "For the joy set before him, he endured the cross." And church, when you just take that verse in isolation, when has a cross When has barbaric torture ever been joy? It's an oxymoron, is it not? It doesn't make sense. How on earth can I think about the cross and think the joy that was set before Jesus, he endured the cross? It makes no sense. A crown of thorns thrust upon his head, whipped until his insides were out, nailed to a piece of wood by the very people that he had created. That does not sound like joy. Yet what's happening here? What's the writer encouraging us to do? What's the writer instructing us to do? To realise that Jesus' gaze was set far beyond the struggle. His gaze was set far beyond the hurt and the pain and the anguish that he was about to suffer as he was going to the cross. He was looking to a relationship with you. Now you might think, well, that doesn't sound too joyful to me, but you know you better than I do. He was looking to that moment where you are able to come into a relationship with a living, loving and holy God. That's why the writer says it was the joy set before him, because sin was about to be dealt with. Death was about to be dealt with. It was about to be all over. Everything that started in Genesis and chapter 1, the issue that we caused, is about to be dealt with on the cross. So Jesus didn't look at the cross and think, I don't know why I'm doing this. Not once. He looked at the cross and went, I am doing this for Joel. I'm doing this for Ewan. I'm doing this for Emma. I'm doing it for Claire. This is why I'm doing it. I'm not doing it just because. I'm not doing it just to fill a bit of time. I'm not doing it for no other reason than you. And church, that is the gospel. That is the good news about our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, that he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and he did it for you. He did it for me. That is why we are here this morning. That's why we're able to worship him. That's why we're able to come together as his church. And then we start to realise the privilege that we've got. Why do I want to be at church? Where else would I be? God has made a way for me through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and I have life and life eternal because of him. And I want to be with you. And I want to worship together. I want to sing his praises together. Because my voice on my own in the shower, but when we're all together, oh, what a difference. When we're all worshipping, what a feeling. When we're all spending time together, when we're all looking in the Word together, when we all get that same moment that our eyes are open and we go, Lord, what have you done for us? We don't deserve it, but look at what you've done for us. Oh, it's so much more powerful when we're together. And church, this is why we're able to do what we do today, is because Jesus endured the cross. But he did it with joy in his heart, knowing that the pain and the struggle were momentary. They were fleeting. The results, church, are eternal. The results are eternal. Jesus overcame. Jesus has won. Jesus did so that we don't have to. Jesus has made a way. So the challenge for us then, is all that we've heard in the past 2 weeks, is to think that there is a way that we can do what we're called to do. And I shared Philippians 4:13 last week, that I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. That if we fix our gaze on him, we're able to overcome. We're able to step over the difficulties. We're able to step into the promises that the Lord has called for us, his plans and his purposes for our lives. And we're able to do that because of all of what he has done for us. We can live for him. We can serve him. We can give our time, our treasure, and our talent. All of this is possible, church. How? Because of him. So let's fix our eyes on Jesus. So that, at the end of verse 3, so that we don't lose heart. Let's not be in that percentage. So that we don't give up and we don't grow weary, that we keep our eyes fixed on him. Church, because he is able. He is able. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you once again this morning for your word, Father, for its encouragement, and Father, for its blessing. And we just pray, Lord God, that you would just speak into our hearts and our lives over these coming days and weeks ahead. Father, that you would just be with us. Father, that you'd speak to us. Lord, that you bless us and encourage us. Father, that we would fix our gaze on you. We just thank you, Lord God, for your wonderful blessings. And we thank you again for your word. Bless us, Lord, as we continue in our worship together. We ask these prayers in Jesus' precious name. Amen.